Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, December 3rd, 2025, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we are in the two greatest chapters in all of the Word of God that teaches the doctrine of grace giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, because of Operation Grace, because of that incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God, because of Christ carrying out Operation Grace and solving mankind's problem of sin, that through simple faith in Jesus Christ, we can have Christmas every single day. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of the Word of God to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, we have out in the hallway the divine viewpoint of the night before Christmas in both red and green. I'm not a greenie, but in red and green, and it's on front and back. It's the divine viewpoint on the night before Christmas. And if you would like to, a lot of people like to get those, put them in your Christmas cards, give them to your friends, your neighbors, whatever. Take as many as you want. They're out there and available for all of you. And a great article from Tom Galbraith. It's entitled, Hollow Days. Hollow Days. People have been complaining about the corruption of Christmas for a long time. In the 1947 film, Miracle on 34th Street, a Macy's janitor named Alfred says, quote, "There's a lot of bad isms floating around the world. But one of the worst is commercialism. Make a buck. Make a buck. Even in Brooklyn, it's the same. Don't care what Christmas stands for. Just make a buck. Make a buck." Unquote. That was in 1947. Can you imagine? Even in Brooklyn. With Thanksgiving and Black Friday behind us, we have fully entered the holiday season. signs and cards say season's greetings or happy holidays. I never answer that way. When somebody says, I say, Merry Christmas. Nobody wants to say Merry Christmas. I never would say happy holidays. It's not even holidays, as this article, it's holidays. Season's greetings or happy holidays, those generic words cover Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Christmas, New Year's, and any other celebrations held this time of year. We derive the word holiday from holy day. But sadly, today it means hollow day. A day emptied of normal responsibilities like work and school. It's a day just for fun. Or a day we obsess about making everything absolutely perfect. Over the next few weeks, you will likely hear scores of reasons for the season. Hallmark-style movies will remind us of the importance of family, the rediscovery of romantic love, or perhaps restoring a community center. For some reason, Hallmark heroes really dig community center. The real reason for the season is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we love to hear about the angels and people like Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, and the wise men. Each enriches the story, but they are only supporting actors. The Christmas story centers on God being born into the world as a human being and the redeeming purposes of that virgin birth. Operation Grace, the cross. And that's why the devil hates it. He and his will come up with a million distractions. The NFL held its first Christmas Day game in 1971. It didn't go over too well, so they didn't have another one until 1989. But starting in 2020, the league has scheduled at least one game on that day, Christmas Day, every year. Last year, they were so determined to play on Christmas that they held games on a Wednesday. What I am saying is that Christmas looks less holy and more hollow every single year. Less an occasion for joyful awe at the birth of Christ, and more of a day where we celebrate for celebration's sake. The Westminster Catechism says that humanity's chief purpose is this: to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's why we're here. That's why we're here after salvation. After salvation, what? Why are you here? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. This year, make the season all about glorifying God and truly enjoying Him. This does not mean psyching yourself up to an emotional high. It means quiet contemplation. It means feasting, not just on traditional holiday foods, but feasting on the magnificence of the Word of God, and his person. Because the celebration of Jesus is forever. As you well know, everywhere I go, everyone I meet, I tell them Merry Christmas. Everywhere. 365 days a year. Every day for 365 days a year. Everywhere I go. If we go out to eat, I say Merry Christmas to everyone. Of all the staff, all the waiters, all the busboys, everybody. They hear it. They tell me Merry Christmas when I come in because they know I'm going to talk about Merry Christmas. Then I tell them why. Why? Why do you, sometimes they'll ask, why do you say Merry Christmas all the time? I said, well, I am a Christian. I've placed my faith in Jesus Christ. That while he was on the cross, he paid the penalty for all my sins once and for all. And if I simply believe in him, he gives me the gift of eternal life. And I will live with him forever in heaven. And he has a plan for me that I can have Christmas every single day while on this earth. Every day. God's plan is so fantastic, so wonderful. God wants you to have Christmas every single day. And not just Christmas, but Thanksgiving every single day. He doesn't give a damn about Halloween. Although when I got my hair cut the other day, the barber turns me around and says, there. I go, oh, you did a magnificent job. How do you like my Halloween mask? He laughed. He says, oh, that's a good one. I haven't heard that one. I said, oh, I keep this on 365 days a year, 24/7. But everyone in that barber shop knows that, well, they know that I'm a pastor of a church. But they also know the grace gospel. I've given them the gospel booklet. The people, all the people at work, they're in the barbershop. You see, I'm a royal ambassador representing Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. You're a royal ambassador for Christ too. You have the opportunity to represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. But you have to make the volitional decision that is your life. Your royal priesthood representing yourself to God. Your royal ambassadorship representing Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And by the way, as these are available out there for as many as you want, take as many as you want. Sunday, December 21st is the Upland Bible Church Christmas program. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. Randy and Dodie have worked together to put on that Christmas program every year, and they spend the whole year, the entire year, preparing that. How many slides? 600 slides? 535 slides in this Christmas program with music. You want to know what the Word of God has to say and the spotlight on Jesus Christ for Christmas. This Christmas program is it. And this is the one time I don't tell you to invite unbelievers. A local church is not a place for unbelievers. It's a place for Christians to assemble, to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. But this Sunday, December 21st, 10 a.m., this is the time to invite all your family, friends, neighborhoods, anybody that you would like them to see what Christmas is truly all about. The spotlight is on Jesus Christ. It's absolutely fantastic. We did a run-through on it this last week. It was spectacular. Randy, after the last Christmas program last year, he immediately started working on the one for this year. Well, about a few months into this year, The Lord said to Randy, come home. And he was promoted, absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. But he took Doty aside before he was promoted. He said, Doty, I want you to finish this Christmas program that I have started. I want you to finish it. Well, she's been working on it all that time since Randy's been promoted. And it's absolutely spectacular. So December 21st, 10 a.m., that's the time to bring in, invite all your unbelieving friends. And the spotlight will be on what Christmas is truly all about. All right. 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, the two greatest chapters in the Word of God on the doctrine of grace giving. Nowhere in the Bible does it go into greater detail as in these two chapters. And we aren't even in chapter 9 yet. We're still in chapter 8. So let's start with the corrected translation at 2 Corinthians 8, starting at verse 17. For not only on the one hand did he, Titus, welcome our appeal, but on the other hand, being very earnest from his own free will, he is moved out face to face with you, Corinthians. Verse 18. And we have sent along with him his brother, Luke, whose praise and fame in the things of the gospel has spread throughout all the churches. And not only this, but also he, Luke, was appointed by the churches to be our traveling companion, a part of the Titus administration team, with this collection of grace, this grace offering, which is being administered by us for the glory of the Lord himself and to show our readiness and willingness. Verse 20, constantly taking precaution that no one should find fault with us in the administration of this generous grace gift. By us, administration by us, that is under our authority. Money given to the Lord's work by the believer priest is a spiritual sacrifice from our royal priesthood to God the Father. And therefore, it must be properly administered. Reliable people must be appointed by the church to collect and account for the use of the funds. Money must be handled by more than one person to avoid any appearance of dishonesty or misappropriation of funds. Those who administer funds must be spiritually mature believers. They must be believers with virtue love brought to completion in their hearts. Personal love for God the Father and occupation with the Lord Jesus Christ. They must be well motivated and with a willing mind. The administrator must be motivated by the absolute truth of the Word of God in his heart. His success as an administrator does not depend on his human ability at all, but rather it depends on maximum grace orientation and doctrinal orientation and personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Money given by churches must be handled with virtue, integrity, and honor in its administration. This administration of money in the local church demands the highest virtue, the highest honor in its collection, in its accounting, and in its handling. These administrators must have spiritual nobility, virtue, love brought to completion in their heart. You see, that grace giving is sacred money. The moment it hits the offering bag, it's sacred money. It is virtue, love, grace giving. It is given on the capacity of loving the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it's very little or very much, it is free will, grace giving to the Lord. Now that brings us to 2 Corinthians 8, verse 21. And the King James says, providing for honest things. Boy, that's just a very bad translation. I would have flunked the guy who translated that. Providing for honest things. We have the present active indicative of pronoeo plus the conjunction gar, plus the accusative plural neuter of the adjective kalos, the postpositive conjunction gar. G-A-R, gar. It's what is called an illative use of gar. Illative, I-L-L-A-T-I-V-E. The illative introduces a reason and is correctly translated for. And then we have the verb pronoeo. Looks like that in the Greek, P-R-O-N-O-E, long O, pronoeo. A couple of things on this verb. First of all, pronoeo is a compound verb made up of the preposition pro, which means before, and noeo, which means to think. So, point two, it literally means to think beforehand. Of course, today it's just unusual if somebody thinks. But to think beforehand. Three, so pronoeo means to think of beforehand. It means to take care. It means to take care for someone or something. It means to provide for someone or something. And then point four, it then came to mean to provide because of forethought or to take into consideration. And that's the best way to translate that here, to take into consideration. Five, pronoeo is the verb for excellent administration. To take into consideration, and then we have kalos. K-A-L-O-S, kalos. This is the word that many times is translated in your Bibles, good. This isn't the word good. Agathos is the word for good. This isn't the word for good. This is a totally different word, kalos. And first of all, one, kalos puts the spotlight on quality. Quality. Puts the spotlight on quality. Two, kalos literally means free from defects. It means fine. It means precious. Those, that's literal meanings. Free from defects, fine or precious. Three, figuratively, kalos means noble, honorable, praiseworthy. noble, honorable, praiseworthy. And that's how it's used here. So the corrected translation, for we have taken into consideration what is honorable. A little bit different from the King James Version there. Providing for honest things. No, not at all. For we have taken into consideration what is honorable. And then we have in the King James, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. We have the objective negative ou plus the neuter of the adjective monos, plus the preposition enopion with the genitive singular of kurios. Then we have the conjunction Allah with the conjunction chi, and then a repetition of the preposition enopion, but this time with the genitive plural of anthropos. So first of all, we have the negative ou plus the neuter of monos. The neuter is monon. There, well, it looks like that in the Greek and in the English, O-U, and then M-O-N-O-N. Now, when it says in the masculine case, why monos means alone. But when you have it in the neuter, it now switches to an adverb. So now it's an adverb. And ou monon means not only, is the corrected translation. Not only. And then we're going to have enopion two times here. Enopion. E-N, long O-P-I-O-N. Enopion. And enopion means before. Before someone or something. Literally, it means in the sight of. Or in the presence of. That's literally. But it's not used literally here. It's used figuratively. Figuratively, enopion means in the opinion of. Or in the judgment of. So here's the figurative use of enopion. In the opinion of. In the judgment of. And then we have, first of all, kurios. K-U-R-I-O-S, kurios, is the word Lord. So this says, in the opinion of the Lord, or in the judgment of the Lord. But not, doesn't stop there. But we have Allah Kai. Allah, the strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek. But it's used with the adjunctive use of chi. And the adjunctive use of chi is also. So this says, but also. Ala chi, but also. And then we have enopion repeated again, but this time not followed by kurios, but with anthropos. In the opinion of men, or in the judgment of men. So the corrected translation says, for we have taken into consideration what is honorable, what is noble, not only in the opinion of the Lord, but also in the opinion of men. All right, one. Free will, grace-giving, money, is valuable and honorable before the Lord. Why is it valuable and honorable before the Lord? It is a spiritual sacrifice from your royal priesthood. So free will, grace giving is valuable and honorable before the Lord because it is a spiritual sacrifice from your royal priesthood. Two, the procedures for handling money must be worked out ahead of time to ensure security and proper administration. The procedures for handling money must be worked out ahead of time to ensure security and proper administration. Three, with this in mind, now the Apostle Paul commends a third member of this administration team, the unknown administrator, in verse 22. For, so far, Paul has commended, first of all, Titus, secondly, the brother of Titus, Luke, and now a third member of the administration team, the unknown believer. Five. Such a commendation, where the believer is unknown and remains anonymous, is designed to encourage those men who work behind the scenes in the administration of the affairs of the local church. Such a commendation, where the believer is unknown and remains anonymous, is designed to encourage those men who work behind the scenes in the administration of the affairs of the local church. Six, the Lord knows who they are. And that is all that counts. The Lord knows who they are, and that is all that counts. Seven, therefore they do their job as unto the Lord. They do their job as unto the Lord. We don't know who this anonymous person is, but he is a fantastic, mature believer and a member of this very unique and special administration team. Now in verse 22, the anonymous member of the team is presented. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 22. And we have sent with them our brother. This is the post-positive conjunction, de, plus the aorist active indicative of sum pempo, plus the dative plural of autos, plus the accusative singular of adelphos with the definite article, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego. Just a second. Either my nose runs or my eyes run, one or the other. I don't run. My legs, I used to run at one time, but now just my nose and eyes run. Verse 22, and we have sent with them our brother. We have the post-positive conjunction, death. Post-positive conjunction de. And it's a transitional de, and the transitional de can be translated correctly either and or moreover, then or now. Here we're going to translate it and. And then we have the verb sum pempo. Sum pempo. That's S-U-M-P-E-M-P, long O, Tsumpempo. Now, Tsumpempo is only found two times in the New Testament scriptures. Both times it's used by the Apostle Paul, and both times it's used in this doctrine of grace giving. It's used in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 18, and in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 22, our verse now. It's not found in the Septuagint or other Greek versions of the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha. So here's a verb that the Apostle Paul uses with grace giving, the doctrine of grace giving. So, one, sumpempo also is a compound word made up of the preposition soon. We have sum here, but soon, which is with, and pempo, which is to send. So, point two, literally it means to send with. To send with. Three, sumpempo came to mean to send in the company of someone, to send at the same time, to send someone with someone. So it means to send in the company of someone, to send at the same time, to send someone with someone, to send along with, and then we have autois. To send along with autois. That's the dative of autos. Dative of autos, and this is with them. And them refers to Luke and Titus. And then we have ton adelphon hamon. That's a definite article. Ton adelphon hamon. T-O-N-A-D-E-L. P-H-O-N, and that's the accusative case, direct object. And then we got H, long E, M, long O-N. Ton, adelphon, hamon, and that is our brother. And that's used as a technical word in the Musterion Church Age Doctrine for the royal family of God. And we have sent along with them, Titus and Luke, our brother, a fellow member of the royal family of God. So one, our brother is an unknown believer who has the gift of administration. An unknown believer who has the gift of administration. Two, he has been sent along with Titus and his brother Luke to make a team of three. A team of three for this very important administration of such a large sum of money. At this time in human history, this was a huge sum of money provided in grace giving from the believers in Corinth. Three, a lot of people have tried to figure out who is this anonymous believer. Well, it could be Trophimus. It could be Tychicus. It could even be Apollos. But we don't really know. And we don't have to know. Four, the spotlight is on the administration of grace giving, not on a personality. The spotlight is on the administration of grace giving, not on a personality. Five, in the administration of the financial affairs of the local church, it takes a lot of unknown and unheralded heroes, to accomplish the job in a manner pleasing to the Lord. In the administration of the financial affairs of the local church, it takes a lot of unknown and unheralded heroes to accomplish the job in a manner pleasing to the Lord. Six, God knows them very well. He knows their heart. He sees virtue, love brought to completion in their heart. He sees their personal love for God the Father, their occupation with Jesus Christ. God knows them very, very well, and He blesses their efforts as they serve Him. He blesses their efforts as they serve Him. Seven, administration in the local church is a very, very important part of Christian service. Administration and the administration of the local church is a very, very important part of Christian service. Eight, administration is the unheralded area of God's heroes in the spiritual life of the church age. Administration is the unheralded area of God's heroes in the spiritual life of the church age. So the corrected translation, and we have sent along with them Titus and his brother Luke, our fellow member of the royal family, whom we have often proved diligent in many things. That just doesn't, again, the King James, boy, they close. No, they didn't even get that close. Close only counts in horseshoes and dancing. But he missed one, this one here. Some of you don't even understand that, because dancing today isn't dancing. It's getting out there and making an ass out of yourself. Fall on the floor, do push-ups. Spin around. Well, you talk about... Now, I don't want to destroy the dignity of the clergy here. Whom we have often proved diligent in many ways. We have the accusative singular masculine of the relative pronoun host, plus the aorist active indicative of, here's the key word, dokimazo. Boy, did they miss that on... proved. Dokimazo. The present active participle of eimi with the accusative singular of spoudaios, plus the prepositional phrase en plus the dative plural polus, plus the adverb polakis, Well, we start out with the relative pronoun hos. H-O-S, relative pronoun, whom, and this whom is this anonymous member of the team, this anonymous fellow member of the royal family of God. But the key word here, and they really miss this, dokimazo. But you realize a lot of the people that translated the King James, they weren't even believers. They were unbelievers. Many of the translators were unbelievers. So it's not surprising that they missed the boat. All right, one. Dokimazo literally means to test or to put to the test or to examine. To test, to put to the test, or to examine. Point two. When the spotlight is on the result of the examination, then dokimazo means to test for the purpose of approval. That's dokimazo. When the spotlight is on the result of the examination, dokimazo means to test for the purpose of approval. Three, dokimazo is modified by the adverb polakis. Modified by polakis. P-O-L-L-A-K-I-S, polakis. And the adverb polakis means many times. Many times, often, frequently. And then we have budaion onta. Budaion onta. And by the way, don't get too worried about onta. That's the verb ame. And in a participle. So spudaion onta means being eager, being zealous, being earnest, being diligent. And then the prepositional phrase, en polois. That's the preposition en, then P-O-L-L-O-I-S, en polois. Means in many things. So, corrected translation, and we have sent along with them, Titus and his brother Luke, our fellow member of the royal family of God, whom we have tested for the purpose of approval many times and found him diligent in many things. And we have sent along with them Titus and Luke, our fellow member of the royal family of God, whom we have tested for the purpose of approval many times and found him diligent in many things. And then we have, but now much more diligent. Oh, there we go. That's what we want to see. This is the post-positive conjunction de plus the adverb nuni plus the neuter singular of polus plus the comparative of spudaios, which is spudaioteron. That's the comparative. The post-positive conjunction de, and now it's used the way it is many times, maybe even most of the time, as a conjunction of contrast, and is correctly translated but. And it sets up a contrast between one, this unknown believer's diligence in the past, with his diligence now in the present. So death sets up a contrast between, first of all, this unknown believer's diligence in the past with his diligence now in the present. And secondly, sets up a contrast between being good in the past with being far greater now in the present. Contrast between being good in the past with being far greater now in the present. And then we have the adverb nuni. N-U-N-E-I, excuse me, N-U-N-I, nuni. And the adverb nuni, this is the emphatic form of noon. And it's only found in the Pauline epistles. Nuni death is a very, very strong and emphatic statement. So, point one. Nuni death is very emphatic and very strong. Nuni death is very emphatic and very strong. Two, nuni de is correctly translated, but now. But now. Three, but now this unknown believer is polus budiateron. Ooh. Now that's what you want to be. You want to be polus budiateron. So, for Christmas, you might ask for that. There you go. P-O-L-U-S-P-O-U-D. A-I-O-T-E-R-O-N. Polus budiateron. Four, polus budiateron means much more or to a much greater degree. Much more or to a much greater degree. In other words, five, polus budiateron indicates great advancement. Great advancement. Great improvement. He's come a long way, this fellow member of the royal family of God in his administration. Six, he started out being diligent in many things, but now he is much more diligent in many things. He started out being diligent in many things, but now he is much more diligent in many things. Seven, he was apparently an appointee of the Macedonian churches. And you see, the Macedonian believers, they were the best of the best. They had the greatest humility, the greatest spiritual growth, and they totally understood grace giving. 100%. They understood grace giving, and they didn't have a lot of money. But that didn't make any difference. They understood grace giving 100%. And the churches in Macedonia supported the Apostle Paul. Not the churches in Corinth. They were very wealthy. In fact, most of the time, Paul refused to take one penny from the churches in Corinth. It was the churches in Macedonia who were spiritually mature believers, winner believers. They had fulfilled the ultimate objective, virtue, love, brought to completion in their heart. They had the most phenomenal grace orientation and doctrinal orientation. They were motivated. And they provided the financial support for the Apostle Paul all over the Roman Empire. They totally understood it. And it's very likely that this unknown believer was an appointee from the Macedonian churches, a fellow member who totally understood the doctrine of grace giving. So the corrected translation, and we have sent along with them, Titus and Luke, our fellow member of the royal family, whom we have tested for the purpose of approval many times and found him diligent in many things. But now he is even much more diligent. And then we have upon the great confidence which I have in you. The dative singular of pepoithesis, with the dative singular polus, plus the dative of the definite article, plus the prepositional phrase ace, plus the accusative plural of the personal pronoun su. Pepoithesis. There we go. P-E-P-O-I-T-H. Long E-S-I-S, pepoithesis. And pepoithesis means trust or confidence. And it's modified, this trust and confidence is modified by the adjective polus, which we've already had, P-O-L-U-S, polus. And polus is great. So polus pepoithesis is great confidence, and then the preposition ace, and the preposition ace sometimes is used, it looks like that in the Greek and in the English, as a causal preposition, and you translate it because of his great confidence in. And then the accusative plural, the personal pronoun, su, in y'all, from the south, southern part of Corinth, in y'all, in you, Corinthian believers. So, the corrected translation. And we have sent along with them, Titus and his brother Luke, our fellow member of the royal family, whom we have tested for the purpose of approval many times and found him diligent in many things. But now he is even more diligent because of his great confidence in y'all. All right. That brings us to the last two verses of chapter 8. And the Apostle Paul gives his endorsement of this very unique and special administrative team in verses 23 and 24. Come back next week. We may even finish chapter 8. Hoo-wah. That means we start chapter 9. You think it's great in chapter 8? We're just beginning the fight here. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.